弟兄姐妹朋友们平安。
The peace to you, brothers and sisters.
今天我们继续讨论的思想，旧约圣经路德记的系列讲章第七部分，一个外邦女子的信心道路。
So today we continue our sermon series, focus on Ruth, a Gentile's woman's faith of a path of faith.
在上一讲第六部分的时候，第二章18到23节结束的时候，摆在拿俄米和路德婆媳二人面前的问题是什么？
So in the last sermon, so we know Naomi and Ruth are facing an issue.
收割的季节过去之后，日子怎么过？
So how will they make a living after the harvest?
虽然在大麦和小麦收割的两个季节里边，婆媳二人得到了波阿斯的惠顾。
So although during the two harvest seasons of barley and wheat, both of them got special care from Boaz.
他们基本生活的口粮暂时得到了解决。
So they meet another basic needs of life, the food.
但是来日方长，今后的日子怎么过？
But for the rest of their lives, and how, what will they make a living?
也就是说，面对未来，婆媳二人两个寡妇的归宿，他们的出路在哪里？
So in other way, when facing future, what are the, what the destiny, for the couple of the widows?
第二章的第最后一节23节特别提到了说路德仍与婆婆同住。
Yeah, in chapter 2, verse 23, particularly mentioned, and Ruth still lived with her mother-in-law.
那当时我问过一个问题，说拿俄米是以什么样的魅力而吸引住路德不离开她的这位婆婆
？Yeah, I asked that question last time, and what's the Christendom of Naomi, why he kept Ruth and to stick with her.
俗话说，我不知道大家是听没听过，有一句俗话说，家有一老就是一宝。
So there's an old saying in Chinese, if a family has an elder, it's better than a treasure.
看到我们中间每年都有不同的家庭中陆陆续续的。有父母辈的来到我们中间。
So if we see among us, we definitely see many grandparents came to join us every year.
这些伯父伯母们把我们从小抚养到大，现在又来帮助我们照看他们的孙儿辈。
So they raised us up, and now they come here and also taking care of their grandparents.
所以家有一老就是一宝，是福气。
So this is really a blessing, when you have an elder in the family, it's really better than a treasure.
所以我们可以说，拿俄米正是以他所付出的那个慷慨的爱心，以及他细致无微不至的关怀。
So really, via her generous and loving heart, and delicate and detailed caring heart.
是他的这个儿媳妇能够牢牢地和他粘在一起。
That really sticked Ruth, a young widow, with her.
那今天我们就借着路德记3章1到5节的经文来领略一下拿俄米和路德这一对老少贫穷寡妇之间智慧与顺服碰撞出的生命的希望。
Yeah, by learning these verses, the scriptures today, so let's learn about the coalitions of wisdom and obedience, harvest hope of life.
那首先我们从第3章1节来认识一下智慧的婆婆拿俄米。
So from verse 1, let's learn about Naomi, the wise mother-in-law.
路德记3章1节，路德的婆婆拿俄米对她说：“女儿啊。”我不当为你找个安身之处使你享福吗？
In verse 3 says, one day Naomi, her mother-in-law said to her, my daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for?
那这里的安身之处在现代中文译本中非常明确的给他解释为什么替你找个丈夫。
So in that verse of home, in a different translation in modern Chinese version of the Bible, and home means of help you find a husband.
那弟兄姐妹们可能问了，就从路德记的第三章第一节这段经文中怎么能看出来拿俄米他的智慧，他的智慧从这儿能看出来。
So how do we actually see the wisdom from this verse of Naomi?
我们来看一段创世纪里边的经文。
So let's look at a verse from Genesis.
创世纪一章二十七、二十八节，神就照着自己的形象造人，乃是照着他的形象造男造女。
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, they create them.
神就赐福给他们，又对他们说要生养众多，遍满全地，治理这地等等的。
So God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in numbers, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over.
那这段经文告诉我们，在人类被创造的初期，就女人的角色来讲有两个特点。
So this scripture tells us in the beginning of man's creation, there are two characters for a woman's role.
第一个特点呢，就是女人和男人一样，都具有神的形象。
So the first point means both male and female inherited the image of God.
因为神照着他的形象造男造女。
And because he made them out of his own image.
那女性的第二个特点就是在神的创造中，女性被赐福了，用我们今天的话说，可能是一个岗位、一个责任，或者说呢，是女性被赐福的一个荣耀。这个荣耀是什么呀？就是生养。
So the other point, the second point is in God's creation, and the women's blessed duty or role.Or in other words, the glory of a woman is really rise in the bring forth the offsprings.
之所以分享创世纪这段经文，是因为在拿俄米和路德他们那个时代，女性在社会中的唯一保障，或者说他们的社会保障的唯一途径，仅仅是在婚姻之内。
Now, the reason to share that verse is because back in Ruth and Naomi's time, and the only means for women to get a social security and protection is within a marriage.
在他们那个年代，没有婚姻的女性，其温饱没有保障，社会地位也没有保障。
If a woman with no marriage, they have no social security, have no social status.
甚至没有婚姻的女性被视为不守妇道，在他们那个年代。
If women did not marry, and means they're not following the traditional values of women or virtue of women,
不单是不守妇道，而且还是没有用的人。
Not only that, but also means have no use.
如果有了婚姻之后，女性要完成他的社会地位，有妇道之称，怎么样？必须要生养。
So for women who got married and way to really manifest their value is through giving birth to their children.
所以在拿俄米和路德的时代，女性要有婚姻，要有生养，这样才能够显示出她的生命价值。
So back in that time.So a woman must get married and also give birth to kids.
我们再来看
other value.
两段经文，撒母耳记上二章一节，以法莲山地的拉玛索菲有一个以法莲人，名叫以利加拿，是苏弗的玄孙，托户的曾孙，以利户的孙子，耶罗汉的儿子。他有两个妻，一个名叫哈拿，一个名叫毕尼拿。毕尼拿有儿女，哈拿没有儿女。 那毕竟他见耶和华不使哈拿生气，就做他的对头，大大的激动他，要使他生气。那哈拿心里愁苦，就痛痛的哭泣祈祷耶和华。尤其是这十一节，大家注意，许愿说：“万军之耶和华呀，你若垂顾给你的苦情，眷念不忘给你，赐我一个儿子，我必使他终身归于耶和华。”这是讲的谁呀？撒母耳，哎，他的妈妈。
Yeah, let's look at another verse, a few verses from First Samuel, and it says there's a certain man from Ramathim, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuhu, and Ephraimite. He also got two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other called Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah has not. And because the Lord has closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to imitate her. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord, and she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only lock up your servant's mystery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razors will ever be used on his head." Pay attention to verse 11.
那就是旧约的例子，新约圣经呢也有一个典型的例子，也就是在路加福音一章五节六节，还有后边的二十几节。当犹太王希律的时候，亚比亚班里有一个祭司名叫撒加利亚，他妻子是亚伦的后人，名叫伊丽莎伯。他们二人在神面前都是义人，遵行主的一切诫命礼仪，没有可指责的，只是没有孩子，因为伊丽莎伯不生育，两个人年纪老迈了。24、25节，这些日子之后，他的妻子伊丽莎伯怀了孕，就隐藏了五个月，说主在眷顾我的日子，这样看待我，要把我在人间的羞耻除掉。
And the past was cited from the Old Testament. The New Testament also examples. For example, from Luke chapter 1, it says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abiha. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and right religious blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in the years. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord had done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and take away my disgrace among the people."
那拿俄米曾经经历过婚姻，有两个儿子，得到了极大的荣耀。
So Naomi was a married woman and also got two sons, and she definitely received the glory.
但是随着她的丈夫和两个儿子先后去世之后，她就失去了她的社会和生命保障。
So after the death of her husband and the two sons, and she lost her social security.
身边伴随着的是她的这位丧夫的儿媳路德，虽然不是她的女儿，但却是她眼下生存所依靠的唯一。
So although Ruth is not her own daughter, but only a daughter-in-law, but that's her only hope.
但是话又反回来讲，对于路德这个年轻的寡妇来讲呢，或许我们可以说，拿俄米活着的目的就是为了帮助路德。
But if we see from Ruth's point of view, and the reason the existence of Naomi is really was to help Ruth.
因为年迈的拿俄米，她需要从年轻的路德的生命价值中显示出他自己的生命意义。
Naomi needs to manifest her own value of life through Ruth's value of life.
所以在拿俄米的脑子中，她要为路德寻找一个丈夫。那一旦路德生下一个儿子，那他的身份、他的地位，就是路德的生命，他的身份地位在改变的同时，拿俄米的身份和地位立即也会发生翻天覆地的变化。
So in Naomi's mind, if she could successfully find a husband for Ruth, and if Ruth got their offsprings, and while the rising of Ruth's status and Naomi's status will also having a dramatic change, positive change.
那当这样讲的时候，会不会有弟兄姐妹们担心，说路德如果嫁了人，岂不是要离开拿俄米吗？
So I don't know whether a brother and sister have such a concern. Once Ruth married another person,
那妈妈就不怕留下她自己孤单一个人怎么办呀？
And whether Ruth were left Naomi and only left her alone.
或者我们可能会担心路德如果嫁了人过上好日子以后，她要相夫教子，日子长了渐渐不会把拿俄米给忘掉了吗？
So, or when Ruth had her own family, and you know, nuclear family, and she has to really focus on her own family, she might just forgot Naomi.
那我们之所以称拿俄米为智慧的婆婆是有道理的。
The reason we call her a wise mother-in-law is there's the reasons for that.
可以说刚才咱们担心的事情。在拿俄米心中来讲，他认为这是绝对不会发生的事情。
And in Naomi's heart, she had the certainty, and those scenarios we just talked about would never happen.
当然这是后话了。
But those you will see in the following chapters.
那在第一章，拿俄米决定返回伯利恒的时候，为两个儿媳妇祝祷祝福的时候，他祈祷神说的一句话怎么讲的？
So before they returned to Bethlehem, and she prayed for both of her daughter-in-laws, what she prayed for?
她那个祷告和愿耶和华使你们各在新夫的家中得平安。
She prayed, may the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of each another husband.
那当她和儿媳回到伯利恒之后，不单是继续为跟随他的这位孝道的儿媳妇继续的祈求赐福。
So not only once they return to Bethlehem, not only they continue to pray for Ruth, but also
而更是付诸于行动
，but also bring her prayers into action.
亲自为路德出主意，想办法要为他找一个丈夫。
And she's really trying to, you know.Bring in ideas and trying to find her new husband.
这就是拿俄米作为一个相信神的老人，或者说是一个相信神的孤寡贫穷老人的智慧所在。
So this is really demonstrate her wisdom as a widow and an older person.
那在座的伯父伯母们。我想给你们一个挑战，如果你们要站在拿俄米的这个角度上来换位思想一下。
So for the generation of grannies and grandpas,
是不是觉得有相当大的困难
？So if you put yourself in Naomi's shoe, whether you will see yourself in a very difficult situation.
在这种情况下，如果我们撒手不管吧，好像不关心孩子。
So if you do not give them any suggestion, it seems like you do not care.
如果我们为儿媳妇或者是女婿出谋献策的话，那年轻的儿媳妇或者年轻的女婿，他愿不愿意听，愿不愿意接受我们的建议？
But if you offer your advice, whether you know your son-in-law or daughter-in-law would give you ears to listen, or whether to accept your suggestions.
如果我们给他们的建议将来呢使他日子过得好了，哇，那是感谢神的恩典。
If you suggest and bring a good outcomes and praise the Lord.
如果将来他们的日子过得不好了，不把埋怨落在我们身上。
Yeah, if your suggestions brought misfortunes for them, would they actually going to complain?
那现在我们先把拿俄米为儿媳妇路德出谋献策，就他出了什么谋献了什么策，先往旁边放一放，我们先来看一下路德他的反应是什么。
Let's put aside what plan Naomi or what idea Naomi had.
看看路德对拿俄米领不领情。
Let's take a look at Ruth, how Ruth react to Naomi's ideas. Whether she appreciated her ideas or not.
顺服的儿媳路德。
So let's look at the obedient daughter-in-law Ruth.
路德记三章五节，路德说：“凡你所吩咐的，我必遵行。”
Verse in 3:5 says, "I will do whatever you say." Ruth said.
你看现在中文翻译的，你说什么我就做什么。
So another modern Chinese version it says, "Whatever you say, I'll do it."
所以这句话我们看完了以后，我们在思想着路德在他的心中，他对婆婆拿俄米的信任、顺服、孝道、爱，哇，我们可以用一系列的词来形容。
Yeah, from that very simple answer of Ruth, we probably can see how much trust, obedience, respect, and love all encapsulated in that short sentence.
在我们成长的过程中，我们曾经以怎样的态度来对待父母长辈为我们提出的建议啊、忠告呀、良言呐、或者是经验之谈。
So if you look at ourselves when we are growing up, how we actually react to the parents' advice, their lesson learned from their own experience.
尤其是在我们在座的许许多多的学生学者们，
particularly for us, most of us are students or scholars.
我们会不会因着自己的学历、自己的地位不断的提高，而已经不愿意，也没有功夫与长辈们坐下来，仔细的聆听他们对生活中的经验、经历，还有一些知识的分享？
So because of our academic achievements or the rising of our social status, and we're unwilling, and we have no time to sit down with our parents and listen to the lesson they learned from their lives and their experience from their lives.
我曾经跟部分弟兄姐妹们分享过，我在中国大陆从1990年到2000年，十年的时间里边，用业余时间拍了有几个系列的摄影照片，其中有一个系列的照片是关于小脚老太太。
So I share with you a series of photographs I took from 1990s to 2000 in China, and one of the theme is about the fruit binding ladies.
我给这一组小脚老太太的照片起名叫“世纪美人”。
So I call this series of photographs The Beauty of the Century.
那在我走访拍摄了60多位老人中间，他们大多数我讲，因着丈夫当兵外出做生意，或者是因着疾病而英年早逝。
So for the 60 ladies I interview,And most of them because their husband either in serving the military duties or doing business, or they all just dead.
他们一部分年轻的小脚女人们守寡一生。
So there were, when that would happen, there were young widows and they never remarried.
他们照顾老人，抚养儿女，种田忙家务。
So they take care of the parents from both sides, taking care of their kids, and work in the fields, and also taking care of domestic duties.
就是那些成千上万的小脚寡妇们忙里忙外撑起了一个个的大家庭。
So those, you know, thousands and ten thousands of foot-bounding old ladies, they actually support many, many, many families.
我想请问在座的，在我们的家庭成员中有没有缠小脚的长辈？
So I don't know whether our relatives have any actually bounding their feet.
我们的姥姥、姨姥姥、舅姥姥、奶奶、姑奶奶等等。
So probably many of our, you know, the relatives from earlier generations.
那我想问的是，我们有没有坐下来和他们平心契合的谈过、聊过他们的小脚的生活、生命
？Did we ever
有没有
？Did we ever actually sit down with them and having a conversation about their lives？
那当我大部分时间我是跟师母一起，当我们在有一种社会的标签，这个标签就是在说缠足是封建社会束缚中国女性的陋习，给中国妇女造成了心理和生理的极大的伤害。在这种社会标签下跟他们近距离接触。
So when those special group of ladies was labeled as unhealthy behavior or habits by the feudal society put onto women, you know, using foot bounding, and really damaged many women's mental and physical health.
近距离跟他们接触，我尽可能跟他们同吃同住，一天、两天、三天。
So under this sort of context, I really live with them, you know, many days.
你才发现在他们心中，我记得有好几个老人就说，你这个人怎么这么好啊，你跟我说这么多话，我的儿子一年跟我说的话就没有你这一天跟我说的多。
So many, women and talk to our pastor here and think he is a remarkable man because he talked more than their sons and daughters ever talked to them.
我发现真正他们心中真正的痛苦是违背他们心中那种固有的伦理的那种道德标准，而被迫让他们放弃对美的追求。
So, really, their pain was really being forced to give up their standard of beauty, and you know their ethical standard and the way they like to live out through their lives.
对他们真正的心理和生理的伤害在于他们那个特殊的群体不被我们这个当代的社会所理解所尊重。
And they were never being understood or respected by our current generations.
我们这个社会给予他们的是什么？
So what we actually give to them.
是蔑视，是讥笑，甚至是侮辱。
Yeah, probably contempts, ridicules, and insults.
这就是他们的生活写照。
So those pictures really
在夹缝里边艰难的生活着。
Yeah, they're really sort of living as a sandwich meat, you know.
哪有你老了，他能够给路德指出了一条什么样的？所谓的有希望的道路。
So what kind of a plan of hope that Naomi can provide to her daughter-in-law?
路德记三章二到四节，拿俄米的良谋佳策。
So let's look at the her excellent plan here.
路德记三章二节，你波阿斯的使女常在一处，波阿斯不是我们的亲族吗？他今夜在场上博大麦。
So in 3:2 says, "Is not the Boaz with those servant girls you have been a kinsman of ours tonight? He will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor."
我们可以说，波阿斯的出现并非拿俄米所可以安排的。
So the appearance of Boaz wasn't really arranged by Naomi.
反而是因为路德外出捡麦穗的时候偶然遇上波阿斯的。
And that was very accidental, because Ruth went out and trying to getting wheat and barley in the fields.
但也正是这样的偶然，在这偶然期间，因为波阿斯因着对路德他的美好的名声，而对路德所给予的一系列的帮助和恩惠。
Because of Ruth's very good reputation, and Boaz really provide many helps and grace to Ruth and Naomi.
由此令拿俄米做出了决定，要安排路德和波阿斯单独会面。
So Naomi had such a plan to arrange Ruth and Boaz to see each other alone.
那怎么理解他今夜在场上博大麦？
So how we understand this verse here is that tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor.
我上次跟大家介绍过，以色列地区收割麦子有两个季节。
So last time I shared about in down standing in Israeli areas there are two days to harvest barley and wheat.
收割大麦是大概是在逾越节，就是我们的四五月节。
So, the harvest of barley happens during the Passover time.
两个月之后的七旬节，也就是五旬节，是小麦收割的日子，相当于我们的六七月份。
That was in April and May, and then the second harvest of wheat happened around the Pentecost. It's about 7 weeks after, will be in June or July.
所以经文到这个时候应该说是路德与波阿斯接触了一段时间，有了比较熟悉的关系，所以恰当来讲如果写上是在博小麦应该比较合理，是不是？
So by those verses you probably can tell, and two of them probably already know each other, and this event probably happened around the second harvest, which is the harvest of the wheat.
所以现在中文给他翻译说，今晚他会在禾场上博麦子，把人的这个疑问就拿掉。
So in Chinese translation, it actually said, he will winnowing wheat on the threshing floor.
那据说在巴勒斯坦地区麦收季节呢，往往是从下午两点钟之后，因为他那个地区非常特别，海洋性气候，下午两点之后呢，有微风飘过来。
Because of their particular geographical location, and after two, they often have a wind coming back by.
尤其是接近黄昏的时候呢，风呢比较细，那个时候呢更适合于博麦养麦。
So in the evening, and the wind slow down, become breeze, and that's probably the best time to winnowing wheat.
那我们在座的有没有不知道或者不懂博麦养麦是什么意思？
So do everyone here know what winnowing wheat means?
所以趁着麦子和麦糠在一起压碎了以后，有微风飘进来以后，拿个簸箕，拿个锨扬起来以后，把麦麸子刮在一边，麦子就落在一块。
Now just like look at the picture, the people using tools to throw the wheat.You know, the kernel and the chaff in the air, and the wind will carry away the chaff.
所以这个晚上呢，应该是傍晚，不是完完全全的半夜的。
So this is really probably happened in the evening time, not at night.
那我们来看看第三章第三节，你要沐浴抹膏，换上衣服，下到场上。
So in verse 3 it says, wash and perfume yourself, and put on your best clothes.Closes, then go down to the threshing floor.
沐浴、抹膏、更衣，这些都是女性打扮的礼仪的一种举动。
So wash, those actions like wash, put on perfumes, or get dressed, are part of a women's routine.
拿俄米为什么交代路德这么仔细啊？
So why she has to tell her in such a detailed fashion?
那我们回头想一下，一方面呢。因为当时的以色列地区比较缺水
，so one of the reasons we know in that region there really a lack of water.
人们不常洗澡 我讲的是不常。
The people they don't wash often or take shower or.
所以他我们忏悔的时候呢，大家怎么样？就像耶稣那个时代一样，有几口缸洗洗手、洗洗脚上的尘土就行了。
So the common way people they often just wash their face or wash their hands or feet, and that's all.
所以拿米让他沐浴。
And so Naomi told her to take a bath.
另外还有一层意思呢，可能是拿米在提醒路德，除了他的容貌身上要干净以外，有香气以外，还有一个呢，就表示说你守寡的日子已经到了，脱去你那个孝服吧。
Another meaning in there would be, so the time of your widow should be end, and really take off your clothes of widowing.
所以拿俄米来劝路德从哀痛的日子要走出来，该恢复你的日常生活。
So really asking her to come out from the days of the sadness.
那按照旧约的习俗，守丧的妇女是不用膏抹身子的。
So according to the Old Testament, or the widowing women, they do not put on perfumes.
一方面呢是表示对死者的哀悼，另外呢，要穿上特别的孝服，要让别人看出来我是一个孝道的人。
To show their respect to the dead, and also put on the clothes to show their respect to the dead.
那这个旧约圣经里面都有一些解释。
So there are several verses in Old Testament and to show you this tradition.
在路德记三章三节的后面部分，但是不要让他知道你在那里，要等他吃完了喝够了。哇，这什么意思？
So in the second half, 3 says, then go down to the threshing floor, but do not let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking.
你看，一个让他晚间进行，另外呢，不要让波阿斯事先认出来他，另外呢，还等到他吃喝完了。
So he here says not, you know, that the boys really recognize her, and also after they finish eating and drinking, and these things happen during the evening hours.
毕竟路德是一个年轻的寡妇，这是原因之一。
So we know Ruth is a young widow.
另外，拿俄米她心里非常明白，在她丈夫家族中的波阿斯。除了这个波阿斯之外，还有一个辈分呢，比波阿斯更近的一个至近的亲属。
So because Naomi also knows, beside Boaz, there's another very close relative in the kin.
所以按理，如果找帮助的话，必须呢先去找那一个人。
Yeah, based on the tradition, and she needs to go to find that person first.
但是很显然。拿俄米可能更喜欢波阿斯。
It's very obvious that Naomi liked Boaz better than the other person.
所以呢，拿俄米为了避免路德先去找这人辈分靠后的他们至近的亲属，避免被别人看见说闲话。
So she probably did not want people to see that they're actually seeking the second best a person should take on this responsibilities.
所以就嘱咐路德脱下你那明显的显非常明显带有你身份的孝服，沐浴抹上膏，穿上宽松的衣服，再戴上头纱，趁着夜黑的时候悄悄行动。
So that's why she gave us such a detailed instruction to Naomi: wash, put on perfume, take off the clothes of a widow, and then put on the beautiful clothes, and do this in the disguise of the evening times.
那关于吃喝这个事情呢，很有可能是拿俄米为路德出主意，让他去的那个晚上，正是全城的人按照律法在庆祝丰收的节日。
So also that's around the time.And the whole city are celebrating the festival of weeks.
在庆祝的时候，人们呀欢跳，又吃又喝。
And during the celebration, people they often eating and drinking.
而且很有可能拿俄米事先已经托人打听过了，说那天晚上波阿斯这个好主人，他会让他们那些手下的工人们尽情的去吃去喝，而他呢会提前到麦场上去值班。
Yeah, she probably spied on Boaz and knew, and this generous person will ask all the workers to eat and drink, and he will actually go into the threshing floor taking care of the field.
所以在 Naomi 看来，这是一个天赐良缘的好机会。
So in Naomi's mind, this is really good opportunity.
路德记三章四节。到他睡的时候，你看准他睡的地方，就进去掀开他脚上的被，躺卧在那里，他必告诉你所当做的事。
So it says, when he lies down, took the place where he is lying, then go and under his feet and lie down, he will tell you what to do.
掀开他脚上的被，这一个短语。
So in English here it says, go and uncover his feet.
历世历代以来有众多的学者发表不同的见解，甚至开展激烈的辩论，来讨论，来研究这到底是什么意思，掀盖他脚上的被。
So for this particular term, and throughout history, many scholars really giving their own interpretation,perspectives and have a discussion and research on this phrase.
我们在这里就不做仔细的去追究它。大家看一下最最保守的天主教的斯高本经文的翻译。
So we're not going to discuss those their perspectives, but take a look at the Catholic version of that Bible.
路德记三章四节，斯高本说：“到他睡觉的时候，你要看清他睡觉的地方，然后就去掀开他脚上的外衣，卧在那里，他会告诉你你所应当做的事。”
So in that version, in that translation, it says really uncover the outer coat on his feet, and then he will tell you what to do.
哎，他脚上盖的外衣。
So it's really a overcoat.
那我们现在可能需要了解一下拿俄米说这句话的时候他自己的心理状况。
So maybe that's trying to understand Naomi's sort of mind and her heart when she said such a giving Ruth such an instruction.
一种可能是拿俄米呢非常自信的看中了布阿斯是最佳的人选，他左看右看前看后看，他就喜欢布阿斯这个人。
So in many ways, you know, she probably thought Boaz was the best candidate, the husband for Ruth.
她觉得波阿斯和路德就是一对。
And she really believed they are a perfect couple.
再合适不过了。
Perfect.
另外呢，拿俄米她非常清楚，波阿斯是她自己丈夫家中两个至近亲属之一。
So she also knows Boaz is one of the close relatives.
无论远近如何，他是神为以色列人制定的独特的那种家庭律法中应当负有责任的人之一。
She's definitely one of the two need to take the responsibility according to the law of Israel.
当然，我们也相信，在拿俄米心中，他一定明白。虽然伯阿斯表面上对路德热心的称赞、热心的帮助
，so she also probably understand, and the boy is really, praised and also, giving a Ruth, special cares.
但是在伯阿斯心中是否对路德产生爱意
？And she trying to understand whether Boaz actually loved Ruth.
不让路德去试一试，怎么能知道呢
？If did not ask Ruth to try it out, there's no way to find out.
所以经文最后一句，他会告诉你你所应做的事。
So in the last verse of the, it says he will tell you what to do.
这个意思就是拿俄米告诉路德说，你只要让波阿斯明白你对他的爱慕之心，这就够了。接下来。 相信他会安排一切的事情。
So basically, the verses here telling us, and Naomi just instructs Ruth to show her love to Boaz, and the rest of the matters will be sort of follow through.
那听完这句话，如果我们是路德的话，我们心中会有怎么想呢？会有这等好事啊？
So how, if we are Ruth, how we will be, how we will react to the suggestion?
那我们设身处地的站在路德的角度上来想，是不是觉得拿俄米这个想法有点太古怪了
？If you, you know, in your in Ruth's shoe, and whether you will think the suggestion is kind of weird?
路德的身份是什么？是一个备受以色列人排斥的摩亚人。
And you know, Ruth was a Moab, and the Gentile.
摩亚人在以色列人头脑中的概念是外邦人，又是一个外邦的女子，是外邦的寡妇女子，是一个贱民。哇，一个外邦寡妇。
So in generally speaking, in Israelites' eyes, the Moabs are Gentiles, and Ruth is also a widow, and is really a low race.
路德会不会有这种自卑心？我初来乍到，刚到你们伯利恒，我要处处小心为人啊。
You know, whether Ruth had such a attitude to be careful, and because she was surrounded by Israelites.
尤其是个人的名声是最最重要的事情。
Particularly, the, you know, her own reputation.
他伯阿斯是什么人？他是城中有钱的。有势的大富人呢
？And particular, Boaz is the very famous and also rich, in a very high social status.
一个有名望、有财富、有地位的以色列犹太男人和一个小小的摩亚外邦寡妇女子。
So you can see, on one hand, is a really rich, very famous, and very high social status. Israelite, on the other hand, is this very low status, low person Ruth.
两个人之间的差距悬殊太大。
There's definitely a big gap between these two.
那现实的差距是无法改变的，也是不可否认的。
So we have to really recognize this unchangeable fact.
但是路德毕竟是一个女孩子。女孩子最喜欢干什么呀？最喜欢做梦。
So but Ruth is a really a young girl, and we all know young girls love to not dreamy.
虽然她是外邦人，是个摩押，是个寡妇，但是呢，一定按捺不住心中对未来美好生活的盼望。
So yeah, she probably cannot really hold you know the hope.And optimism of future.
既然婆婆拿俄米让我去做，自有她的道理。所以听了拿俄米的一席话之后，路德就毫无怨言的按照婆婆的要去做。你说什么，我就做什么，真好。
Yeah, but Ruth really probably have faith in Naomi. In terms of the instruction she gave to Ruth, and whatever she said, and she did not hesitate to follow the instruction.
弟兄们有没有听过有人做见证说，你的信心有多大，神的恩典就有多大？
Yeah, I'm
听过没有
？I'm sure brother and sister heard such a testimony that how big is your faith and how big is the God's grace.
信心是什么？
What's faith?
我们今天在路德身上所看到的信心，就是单纯的顺服。
So the faith we demonstrate through Ruth is really simply obey.
大家还记得路德在决定跟随婆婆拿俄米返回伯利恒的时候，有一段信仰告白。
So we all know there was a sort of conversation about faith.Before she followed Naomi back to her country.
路德记一章十四节， 这是路德舍不得拿俄米拿俄米说看着你嫂子已经回到本国和他所拜的神那里去了，你也跟着你嫂子回去吧。路德说不要催我回去，不跟随你，你往哪里去我也往哪里去，你在哪里住宿我也在那里住宿，你的国就是我的国，你的神就是我的神，你在哪里死我也在那里死，也葬在那里，除非死能使你我相遇，不然愿耶和华重重的降罚于。
So here in 1:14 says, But Ruth clung to her, but Ruth replied, Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and where I will be buried.
这就是路德单纯的顺服的信心的基础。
So this is really the foundation of such a simple faith.
他既然决定相信了，就一信到底，单单纯纯的，彻彻底底的，毫无争辩的，将自己交托给这位生命中遭受了艰难困苦极大苦难的婆婆。
Because she believed, and she just believed to the bottom of it, and very simply, and no argument, and putting her life completely to Naomi.
实际上，路德也是把自己的生命、自己的未来交给了这位婆婆背后的什么呀？你的国，你的神。
You know, it's also actually she entrusts her life to the God behind Naomi, and you know, her country and her God.
曾经跟大家分享过十四节这里，路德舍不得拿俄米，这个舍不得有什么意思
？So when we talk about verse 14 back then, we talk about Ruth is clung to her.
舍不得意思就是粘在一起，紧紧的连在一起。
Yeah, so it really means they sort of stick together.
那开始的时候跟一些伯父伯母挑战过，现在再跟一些年轻人发一点挑战。如果我们站在路德的角度换位思想一下，是不是觉得路德也相当不容易在这个时候？
And also, to challenge the younger brothers and sisters, if we put ourselves in Ruth's shoes, and whether you see yourself in a very difficult situation as well.
作为年轻人，如果我们对眼前的这位孤寡贫穷的婆婆或者是岳母没有信心的话，对她出谋划策的建议很可能认为是什么呀，可能不着边际，愚蠢的想法。
Yeah, if she has no faith in Naomi, they probably will think her suggestion was really unrealistic and also foolish.
但是当我们对眼前这位孤寡贫穷的婆婆或者岳母的建议的反应像路德那样脱口而出，凡你所吩咐的我必遵行，如果我们做出这样的反应的时候，
But when you react with you know, everything you say I'll do,
我们的顺服说明在我们的心中认为婆婆或者岳母的建议一定是有道理的，一定是凝聚了她一生的智慧的结晶。
Yeah, but this such an obedience definitely demonstrates the faith and the belief in the rationale in the suggestion or the advice. And must something they only learn from her own experience.
我重复一下刚才我讲的，拿俄米没有变，他的建议没有变。如果路德或者是我们今天的年轻人认为他是愚蠢的建议的话，他的智慧显不出来。如果我们完完全全顺服的话，就显出他的智慧了。
I want to repeat here, you know, Ruth's suggestion or plan will never change. You know, if Ruth did not follow, and such wisdom won't really bring forth. And only because she followed, and really the wisdom really manifest through this obedience.
所以这就是我们今天的主题：智慧碰上了顺服，所碰撞出来的生命的希望。
So this is really the theme of today. When obedience encounters faith, that will produce hope.
有一首在中国大陆传唱的关于路德的北方小调，我们今天来大家一起来试一试唱一唱。
So in mainland China, there's also a song about Ruth. Northern part of China have a song called Ruth.
小米姐妹做的词曲。
That's sing it together.
迦南诗选263首。路德，路德，本是为帮助却被列在先祖的谱心里，为何这位你是蒙大恩，请你打开圣经看一看路德记，一颗年轻的心早已刻下永生身，历经重重打击依然真真正正，他走向万道以后多想去哪里，他知道那亚来一位以那美封闭里撑起个家，路再遥远也要回去，他的心能辨明是后和定义，风雨里撑起个家，路再遥远也要回去，他的心能辨明是后和定义。北方小调，我们一起祷告。
Let's pray together.
恩主慈爱大巴父，我们感谢你，感谢你赐给我们宝贵的话语。
Our Heavenly Father, we give our thanks to you for the words you give to us.
这是借着主您的话语，对我们今天的信徒发出了挑战。
So by your word, you're challenging us to our faithful today.
我们面对主你所给我们制定的律法，在圣经中清清楚楚地写明白。
So we understand the law was so obviously stated in the Bible.
但是我们生活的这个社会中的律法所产生出的伦理道德的标准，一直在和主您的律法所产生出的这种道德伦理标准在碰撞。
And we also understand the clash of your law with the current social ethical standards.
愿主您借着路德和拿俄米这一对落陷于磨难的两个妇人，他们之间的美好的生命的碰撞的见证。
So really, while this a beautiful testimony of Ruth and Naomi,
让我们思想我们在今天生活中我们所面临的，我们所经历的。
So we can meditate on what we experience today in our life.
求主您带领我们，求主您赐福我们。
Ask the Lord to lead you to lead us and to bless us.
愿主您的圣灵与我们同在。
And ask your Holy Spirit be with us, be present with us.
这样的感谢祷告，奉靠主耶稣基督的名求。
And such a thanksgiving and pray, it was in the name of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
好，现在邀请大家一起起立，我们用神的话语来接受赐福。